in the second chapter of the book of Luke. We're going to read from the 41st verse of Luke. We're going to speak on today on four times, twice this morning and twice this evening, a total of four times in which somebody supposed something in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ, and each time the supposing was wrong. And the first one is found in this 41st verse through the 49th of the second chapter of Luke. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. They're speaking of the Lord, of course. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolks and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? We mentioned that they supposed, it said in that 40 verse, supposing him to have been in the company. They thought he was with them, but he was not with them. And you and I, as we go through life, many times we realize both as Christians and particularly as unsaved, that we suppose that we know God, and we may not know God. We suppose that we're walking in God's will, and we may not be walking in God's will simply because we are not paying attention to the things that would make that so in your life and mine. You see, we're so occupied with the everyday things of life. I'm convinced, personally, that that's our greatest problem in life. We get so occupied with the everyday things of life that we forget eternity. And you remember the Word of God says that you and I are to look not at the things that are seen, for the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen, for the things that are not seen are eternal. You and I, that particularly that have accepted Christ as our Savior, we've been made for God, and we're made for eternity. This world is not our home. We're heavenly people. We're just passing through on our way home. You see, if you go to the grocery store or some other place with your wife, and she says, do you have your wallet with you? You wouldn't say, well, I suppose so. You'd check. You don't want to get to the grocery store and have to come back because you didn't bring your money with you. And so the thing that is in life is that we don't want to suppose. We want to know. It's a wonderful thing to know, and God says that you can know. We'll be reading the other text as we go along, but I want to just stay with this one for the moment. And we see that he went up to Jerusalem, it says, as was their custom. They went up every year. And when they started for home, they supposed that the Lord Jesus was with him. But the Lord had stayed behind, as we see from the text that we read. It says they went a day's journey. They went a whole day's journey, so they evidently didn't look for him at all. There probably were other relatives in the group, there were friends in the group, and they probably had children, and they assumed that the Lord Jesus was with those other children. They supposed that he was there, but they didn't know he was there, and they went the whole day before they looked for him. And my question, is concerning this. Do you and I, do we go a whole day without thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ? We ever get up sometime, we're too busy to pray in the morning, too busy to have our devotions, and we stay all day without ever thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Lord in our story, of course, was 12 years old. And he wasn't a little tiny baby, but still you would wonder about going all day without ever thinking about him at all. you and I that know Christ as our Savior, do we pray? The Bible says to be instant in prayer, to be constant in prayer. And I've always felt that the blessing of that particular thought is that when I'm instant in prayer, when I'm constant in prayer, I'm in the presence of the Lord. You can't pray without being in His presence. And it reminds you constantly of who He is and what He's done for us. And then perhaps some of you are here today and you've never thought about the Lord Jesus Christ at all. He's never crossed your mind at all. In other words, you know who He is, perhaps, but you have no real interest in what He has to say. So you've gone your whole life without missing Him. Your whole life, you've never missed the Lord Jesus. I have a friend that runs the Awana up in Albany, Georgia. And they had the first night of it when I was up there this summer speaking. And he told me afterwards they gave out 14 questions. Questions like, who is David? Who is Goliath? Who is Joseph? Who is Jesus? And so forth. And better than 50% of the children that came to that Awana from outside the assembly, they have a lot that come from outside, could not answer most of those questions. Many of them didn't know who Jesus was. Never given a thought to Him. These children are at least 10 years of age before they can come to this Awana. Never felt any need in your life to belong to the Lord Jesus. You know, I think of that sometimes when you go down the highway and you see bad accidents and you see people driving 90 miles an hour waiting for an accident to happen and so forth. And I wonder how many of those people know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I was touched with that thought years ago when that rocket went up and exploded. You know, the spaceship went up and exploded with those 8 or 9 people on. How many of them know? And many times you and I can be a blessing to others in leading them to Christ if they never have thought about Him. Never thought about Him at all. You see, the privilege that we have as believers is this. We're rich in Christ Jesus. And we're so rich that when we give away the blessing that's ours, we've still got more than we started with. You and I lose nothing by telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. We lose nothing in living for Christ day by day. This is a blessing which is yours. There are many people, and perhaps some in this room, who've never accepted Christ as their Savior, never really thought about Him, never really had Him on their mind at all. And the world in which we live is seeking to blot Him out of the mind of everyone that will listen. So you and I need to remember His love. And you can have Him as your Savior today. It's just a matter of accepting Him as your Savior. And if you choose to deal with Him, then He will bless you. But if not, the Bible says you're going to spend eternity in God's prison house, which He calls hell. And we had a picture of it God gave us of the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man was in conscious torment in hell. And so there's going to be conscious torment throughout the endless ages of eternity. And you and I that know Him, we're treading life's pathway. And those who don't know Him and have been treading life's pathway for years, is Christ with you? You know, I talked to people, I talked to a man who was in a hospital meet years ago, and he said he knew that his mother was going to heaven, if anybody was going to heaven. And I asked him why. He said, you couldn't have met a finer Christian lady. She went to church and she was the best mother she could be, and he named all these wonderful things that she did. And many people are going through life, walking along, not stealing, not lying, not cheating, giving money, going to church, being of help to others, all these good things, and they've never taken Christ as their personal Savior. It is not those things that's going to take you to heaven. And it's not your sins that's going to take you to hell. It's that your name is not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
What have you done with the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the question. Pilate said, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And that's the question to you. What will you do with the Lord Jesus? They thought he was with them. They supposed that Christ was with them. And if that's true of you, I would beg you today to make sure that the Lord Jesus Christ is with you. I'm sorry about this throat. I went to California to speak at a conference with Elliot. And I caught this, or at least it started on the way back on the plane. So I blame it on California. And I didn't figure out how I happened to get this anyway, because I don't have anything like this in my schedule till 2002. Now I'm beginning to think that's when it's going to end, in 2002. Anyway, the thing is that the Bible says, these things have I written unto you, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, ye that believe in the name of the Son of God. You and I can know. We don't have to suppose about it. We can know we have eternal life. And of course, this story has a message for those who are believers, for it happened to the parents of the Lord Jesus, and they were believers in him. It teaches us that we can go a whole day or more than one day just supposing that God is with us, instead of actually enjoying his presence, enjoying his love, enjoying his word, enjoying walking with him. We're told to walk in the light as he is in the light. That's not how we walk, that's where we walk. That's walking in the presence of the Lord Jesus. We can have daily communion with him, or we can not have daily communion with him. When we walk with him in communion, you remember this little chorus that said, a little talk with Jesus makes things right, all right. And it is a wonderful thing to be able to talk to the Lord. You and I can share with him things we would not talk to anybody else about. Anything. You can talk with the Lord. He knows anyway. And so you feel free to share with him the good and the bad. I often remind young women that they can ask the Lord for a certain man. And they wouldn't dare tell their parents about that, but they can ask for him, or the man can ask for the young lady. And God hears those prayers, and God answers prayer. It has been suggested that they went the whole day without missing him, because they went to Jerusalem every year. This was something they did on a regular basis. And perhaps because they did it on a regular basis, they had become accustomed to it. I think of that sometimes in our breaking of bread service. We had a lovely breaking of bread service this morning, but sometimes you'll notice in the breaking of bread service that a hymn will be given out, and then the next one given out has nothing to do with the one before, and the next one has nothing to do with the two before. There's no theme to the service. Well, if the Holy Spirit has his will in the service, there'll be a theme to the service, it seems to me. But many times it's because we did not come prepared. We just look up a hymn when we get there, instead of perhaps preparing one. And I believe that when we get accustomed to something, like the breaking of bread service, many times it's not as precious to us as it was. It's not as controlled by us as it was. But they went on a regular basis, and I think that perhaps they just got a little bit used to him. It wasn't the thrill of watching the child that it is when they're 3 and 4 and 5 years old. And we know that it's true in life, for a person enjoys many things the first time, and even the second time, but after a while they just get tired of doing the same thing. Somebody said that's the worst thing about life, is that it becomes boring. You're doing it over and over. You shave every day. You brush your teeth every day. You pick out a dress every day. You do all these things, day and night. And you look forward to something, and then after you've had it once or twice, it doesn't have the same thrill. But the person of Christ should thrill your heart every minute of every day when you realize what he did for you and what you deserve from him. The wages of sin is death. That's what you deserve. But the gift of God is eternal life. That's what he bought for you when he died at Calvary's cross. Years ago, I had a friend that was a good high school friend, and after we were in the tire business, he used to come by our business and see me there. We'd go to lunch sometimes. One day he came by, he was just thrilled. All his life, he'd wanted a Cadillac, but he never wanted to do. Cadillac was the big car then. They didn't have all these foreign cars that are so great today. But he, all his life he'd wanted this, but he didn't want to deprive his family, so he'd save just extra money. And he finally bought this brand new Cadillac. Wanted me to ride in it. I had to put a cloth on the seat because we were in the tire business. But anyway, he wanted me to ride in this Cadillac. And it rode nice. He really loved that car. And every time he'd come by, he'd tell me how great that car was. 5 or 6 months. Then one day he came in, he was kind of depressed, and I said, what's the matter? He said, well, he said, I got in that car this morning, I started up, it purred like it always did. And he said, I got backed out and turned in the direction to go to the office, and it suddenly occurred to me, it was a used car. And it never meant as much to him after that, because it was a used car. He'd gotten used to it, and the thrill was gone. And I believe to a degree that's probably what happened here. The thrill was gone with caring for the Lord. But you and I, we need to stay alive in His presence. The love of Christ, the glory of Christ, it should thrill our hearts every single day. You and I should never allow the revelations and blessings of the eternal God to become commonplace with us. Our lesson teaches that it's much easier to lose touch with Christ than it is to regain it again. See, they lost His company for one day, but it took them 3 days to find Him again. They had to go all the way back. You and I as Christians should never have to go back. You remember what the psalmist says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Paul says, I run with patience the race. What? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. As Van Pavner said, and we reminded you before, we're not earthbound individuals working our way to heaven. We're heavenly individuals working our way through this world. And as we go on the way, we should ever seek to be moving forward in our knowledge and relationship with the Lord Jesus. One day He's going to present us faultless in God's presence, and so we need to walk with Him and allow Him to change us day by day into His image. They missed Him at the close of the day, and when they found Him again, His mother told Him they had sorrowed. And that's the way it is. When a Christian is separated from God, they sorrow. If you're unsaved, you never have known joy. If you're separated from God, you never know what joy is. And we can't tell you about it. He read that hymn, no love no that no tongue can teach. I can't teach you the love of God. You have to examine it for yourself. You have to take it from God. And then you'll know something of the love of God. And so they said they didn't know where He was. And when they found Him, they said they were sorry. And the reason was they'd been separated from the one they loved, from their Son. And when you and I are separated from God, it has effect on our life. My son-in-law, years ago, got cold in heart, quit going to the meeting for a while, quit taking any kind of a part, and quit being a very good father, actually, at the time. When he was restored, he told me, he said, Dad, during all that time, I could never once pray or read my Bible. You see, when you're separated, when you're not with Him, the joy of your salvation is gone. It's the presence of Christ. And I would maybe disagree with what our brother Billy said, this group said, disagreeing with the group rather than him, that doctrine is the main thing in the Bible. I think Christ is the main thing in the Bible. I think the Bible is written about Christ. And I believe when you know Christ, you have joy. And when you don't, you can know all the doctrine. If you've never taken Christ as your personal Savior, it's not worth a nickel. The blessing is in Christ. All of our blessings are in Christ. All of our joy is in Christ. And so they missed Him. And they had three distinct feelings during this experience. One was of carelessness and indifference when they walked without him. No doubt they enjoyed the time with their friends and relatives, but still, it is not the same as having the Lord himself. You and I can enjoy fellowship one with another. We can enjoy fellowship with our natural relations and so forth, but it's not the same as the fellowship with the Lord. And then they searched 2 or 3 days in sorrow. And that's why we sometimes lack the joy of the Lord, because we let either the fellowship of his people or the things of this world substitute for his presence. And they were glad when they found the Lord. And there is a joy in knowing the Lord. You remember on the night of the Lord's resurrection, the disciples were in the upper room, and it says, then were they glad when they saw the Lord. And they heard his answers, and they were amazed at these types of things. And so you and I should know him and should have him walk with us. Now let's look at Mark chapter 6 and verse 45. Mark chapter 6, verse 45. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he went, sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land, and he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled, and immediately talked with them, and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And when he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. Now this is the second suppose in regards to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It would appear that in the previous lesson, the parents did not feel they needed to have the Lord Jesus with him. In this lesson, the disciples evidently felt that they did need him, because it says that he constrained them to get into the ship. In other words, evidently the disciples didn't want to go without his physical presence in the ship. And he had to tell them, you go ahead. They wanted to stay with him. And it pictures how you and I today are traveling over life's sea. Our Lord Jesus Christ is not physically here in the world today as he was in those days. He's in heaven today. And it pictures that beautifully. You and I are going through the storms of life, and the Lord is doing just what he was doing here. He's up on the mountain praying for us. Our Lord Jesus is in heaven today, praying for you and I, caring for us as we go through life, seeking to meet every need that we have as we go through life. And we see that the Scripture says he ever liveth to make intercession for us. We don't know what the weather was on the mountaintop, but we would assume certainly today it's perfect peace. Perhaps it was on the mountaintop in those days. Our Lord Jesus Christ reigns in perfect peace while the disciples were going through storms in his life. And we should never forget for the Christian, God has not promised us an easy life. God has not promised that you won't have trouble as you go through your life. In fact, it seems that God's taught the exact opposite in the Word of God. He's taught us that people, as we go through this life, as Christians, are going to have 3 times as much trouble as the unsaved in the world. First of all, Satan is going to buffet you if you seek to live for Christ. Secondly, Christ is going to test you. He says he won't test you above that you're able, but will, with the testing, provide a way of escape so that he may use you. And then, of course, he has to discipline us if we are disobedient Christians, because this is the only place he can do it. There won't be any discipline in glory. There won't be any sin in glory. And so God does it while we're going through this life. Now, of course, when you think of it from a Heavenly Father's point of view, if you do those things for your children, they'll be much better children in this world. And God is preparing us for a better world. He's preparing us for eternity. I want you to notice that the Lord did those two things for his disciples. He prayed for them on high, and he came to them on the sea. And that's what he's promised you and I. Lo, I am with you always. He prays for you. He intercedes for you. Remember what he said to Peter? Satan had desired thee, they might sift thee as wheat, but I have prayed for thee. And so God promises that he'll pray for us. But he also promises that he'll come to us. We read that he saw them toiling on the seas. He saw them toiling on the seas. And you can be assured that God sees you as you go through this life. And my sister, as I mentioned, in the hospital, and she's been praying to die because of the pain. And I think they've helped her with that now, but somewhat. But I was telling her, you know, she was saying something, she prayed, and I said, well, the Lord knows those things. You're right to pray, don't misunderstand that, but the Lord knows. And many times we forget that the Lord knows. We should talk to him. I believe in that, as I've already pointed out. But we need to remember that God knows. God looked down from heaven, and he saw them going through the trial. And whatever trials you go through, as a believer, God knows about those trials. Here's what the hymn writer says. Though in glory he is seated, yet his thoughts and eyes are here, watching o'er his ransomed people to his gracious heart so dear. He saw them and he prayed for them and he came to them. You may not see him, but he sees you and prays for you. And then we see how he came to them. He came in the fourth watch, the very darkest hour of the night. Those hours just before daybreak. And so it is in our spiritual life as well. He seems to come at the darkest hour when hope seems lost. Then comes his words of cheer. Our Lord Jesus tries our faith. And then in grace he comes and rewards our faith. I want you to notice he didn't immediately free them from their trouble. He came to them in their trouble. He came himself. He came walking on the waters. At those storms that were giving him the terror, the wind and the waves and so forth. But he didn't immediately stop the storm. The lesson teaches us that we should learn to live above the circumstances, as the Lord did. He walked on top of the water. The storm was raging, but he was walking on top of the water. And when you learn to trust in Christ, as we should, then we learn we can walk on top of the water. We don't have to go through all the trials. We'll have the trials. But we don't have to let them control us. We can control them by putting our trust in Christ and realizing the peace which God gives to all of us. The lesson also might be that we learn to take God's word, to believe God's word. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, it says that we should lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us and run with patience the race. And the sin, it seems to me, is not taking God at his word, not trusting God. You know, we're willing to trust God when there's nothing we can do about it. We're often not willing to trust God when we think there is something we can do about it. He doesn't always deliver us immediately from the circumstances, but he always will bless. You remember Paul and Silas, they were in the jail at Philippi, and in the middle of the night they began to sing praises and to pray. Now that's living above the circumstances. They were shackled to the walls after having had their backs beaten by the whip, and they were shackled to the walls. But they sang praises unto God. You and I, like Christ pictured here, we can walk above the circumstances. Someone has said it's better to know trouble and have Christ come to you to bring his blessing than not to have any trouble at all. Better than a calm is a storm with Christ at your side. It's then that you know. Tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. When the Lord came, they supposed he was a spirit, and they were afraid. And another gospel gives the same incident It says that, you remember, Peter asked to come walking on the water. And the Lord bid him to come. And when he took a step or two, it says he looked and saw the wind boisterous. And my dad used to like to say they saw two things you can't see. You can't see a ghost or a spirit, and you can't see the wind. You can see the results of the wind, but nobody's ever seen the wind. You can see the trees blowing. That's the result of the wind. You can see something blown down. They saw two things they didn't see. Whenever you get your eyes off of the Lord, you see a lot of things that aren't there. When you keep your eyes on the Lord will bless you with what you need to know, and you will know what He would have for you. Their faith gives comfort. When you and I trust in Him, it gives us a comfort and a blessing. You and I don't need to suppose anything in regard to Christ. We can know everything in relation to Him by exercising faith. You and I need to quit supposing and start reposing, resting in Christ. We're rich. And why should a rich person be all upset about things that don't count for anything anyway except time? Why shouldn't we just rest in the Lord? It's a blessing to rest in His precious Word. Listen to three great things that Christ said to these disciples and to you and me. The first one, He said, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. That's a wonderful promise. Your sins are all forgiven. You and I are never even going to be judged for our sins. There's therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. It's a wonderful blessing. And if you're outside of Christ, if you put your trust in Him, every sin, past, present, future, will be forever forgotten and forgiven by God. Secondly, He said in the Word, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. We as Christians not only get victory over sins, but over temptations and the allurements of the world. He said, I have overcome the world. And then the one in our text, be of good cheer, it is I. They could tell who it was because they knew the sound of His voice. And we who today, by faith, we know the sound of His voice. We know the person of Christ. In our individual lives, He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So Jesus said, when the gospel is preached, and men hear the voice of the Son of God, they that hear shall live. And you and I are their saints. When we hear and study and meditate on His Word, it encourages us, it strengthens us, it brings joy and peace into our life. The interesting thing, finally, is they were amazed when the storm ceased. Another gospel says they were troubled. So we see it was not the storm that brought them the most fear. It was when the storm ceased. It's when they did not understand. And when you and I do not understand and will not simply take God's blessing by faith, that's when we have the greatest problem. You and I should use the storms of life to test us and to bring us safely into His presence and into His thoughts so that we're sharing with Him those things which He would have for our best. If you're here outside of Christ, there's nothing in this world that Christ could do for you that's better than salvation. God says that's the very best gift. And if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, you don't know anything of value. I don't care what your education is. You know nothing of value until a man accepts Christ or a woman accepts Christ as their Savior. They've never done anything worthwhile for eternity. Oh, maybe for time, but not for eternity. May God help you to make a wise choice. Stay behind if you want some help. Many of us would be willing to visit with you. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious Word. We thank Thee for Thy Son, our Savior. We thank Thee that He came to be the Savior of the world, and yet He lived a life for 30 years, exactly as we do, going to work, being raised in a home as a child, as an infant, as a toddler, We thank Thee, our God and Father, He was willing to come in this world. And we're told that He did all these things that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest. And so we look, our God and Father, to our Thy Son and our Savior for our blessing, and we thank Thee that we can rest in the assurance that him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And so we ask our God that each of us might come to him, first of all, for salvation if we've never been saved, and secondly, for blessing and purification and edification and strength and provision as we give thanks in his worthy and precious name. Amen.